So the thing about Mentalinux that I didn't know when I went into it is that it is based on Ubuntu. And for those of you not in the world of Linux, Ubuntu is what I call hippie Linux. Because all the left-wing statist hippies I know who use Linux, they all use Ubuntu. Because Ubuntu, it's Linux for everybody. It's inclusive. I don't know if that's really the reason, but that's just what I say. Because I think that's their motto or logo or whatever is Linux for everybody. And their logo is these three stylized people who are different colors because just diversity and tolerance and all this other shit. So anyhow, Mint Linux is based on hippie Linux. So I installed the Mint Linux, and installation, it works pretty well. No problems there, everything's pretty intuitive. And as I'm creating it, I have a message. The message is, I'm right, you are wrong, fuck you. As I'm installing Mint Linux, it asked me to create a username and a password for your normal user, but at no point does it ask me to create a password for the root user. Which, I'm looking at this and wondering, well, what the fuck is going on here? How do you have Linux without a root password? So for those of you not Linux people, root means like the administrator, like if you have a Windows computer, right? You have somebody who's an administrator, they install software, then you can create users that don't have administrator privileges, and they're limited in what they can do. Well, with Linux, your administrator is called root. Root has all the power, root can install software, remove things, change, yada, yada, yada. And then each of your users is limited in what they can do. And so, for example, as I could have my login for the Great One, and you could have your login for Stephanie, and I can make it so that you can see my files, or you can't see my files, or I could have directories that you could see and other directories you can't see and all this other stuff. So it's file permissions and all this other stuff. And every time I've ever installed Linux, you create a root password so that you can log in as root to do the things that need to be done, like installing software, as root. And there's no root user password on the Mint Linux, and I'm baffled by this.
This is Radio Freedom.
But then that's why I'm installing it, to find out. I'm learning things here. Okay.
It's out of control.
And it is out of control, guys. You're out of control.
And there's nothing I can do now.
You computer programmers, it's out of control. You've got to get girlfriends. You've got to. You've got to stop trying to fix things that aren't broken. It's getting to the point where this shit's fucking ridiculous.
It's out of control. Like a fire that keeps on burning, and nobody knows.
Well, I know that you're annoying me with your constant need to fix things that aren't broken. Getting to the point where I want to find you and fucking strangle you to death. Walk away from the computer and stop changing the source code. Well, I can stop it. It's called the off button. Except even when you turn it off, it's not off. Watch it burn. Yes, it's burning. I'm sorry. She's already gotten to the point, and that's why I'm doing this podcast. I just, God damn it. Forever. That's how long I'm going to be pissed off. My pissed offness will live even after I die. That's how strong it is. The strength of the pissed offness of the Great One. Getting to the point where Linux is moving into the realm of protecting people from their own stupidity, which was always one of the advantages of Linux over Windows and Apple. Windows and Apple go to great lengths to protect you from your own stupidity. Linux doesn't necessarily do that. Especially when you're on the command line. If you're on the command line and you're logged in as root, there's no protecting you from your own stupidity. None. And thus, much like natural selection, only the competent and the capable and the self-aware survive. Everybody else falls by the wayside. Considering you have to have a license to drive a car, you have to have permission from the government, I think you should need a license to own a computer. You should have to be able to demonstrate that you're not stupid. All right. The Mint Linux. So you get the shit on there. There's no root password. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So I get in and I'm trying to do stuff, installing software and everything. And so you go to install the software, which I know is going to require root access. So I'm looking to interest in see how this is going to work. It says, well, you must enter your password to do this. So the only password I have is my user password. So I type that in and it works. I'm like, oh, interesting. It's because my user is in the sudo group, which gives me the power to temporarily do things as root. Now, I don't want to fucking go in depth here. I'm going to try to distill this to get to the point, the important point, without giving like lectures on Linux and shit. Here's the thing. They're doing this. I go on the interwebs and I start looking on the forums to find out why there's no fucking root user. Okay, and then this is when I found out that Mint is based on Ubuntu. And it's like, oh, Ubuntu is hippie Linux. Of course, hippie Linux is trying to protect you from yourself. The excuse here is that you can't have a root user because it's too dangerous. Because people who don't know what they're doing might be logging in as root and they might break something. So therefore, our distribution will not create a root user so that you can't accidentally bork your system. In other words, this is a Linux distribution which is protecting you from your own mistakes. And when you protect people from their own mistakes, that's how you get white trash. That's how you get adjunct professors at colleges. That's how you get people with liberal art degrees who work as baristas and bartenders and waitresses. This whole thing of protecting people from their own mistakes. See, this is how I learned Linux. This is why I learned Linux. This is, and I'm not the Linux master, not saying that, but I can do some shit in Linux. You know why? Because I made mistakes. I borked my system more times than I could keep count of. I also had these things called backups, which the commoners don't have, because they think, well, my computer will never crash and burn. I'm being protected. When you throw all of this shit. Oh, don't worry, you don't need a root password. We're protecting you from yourself. No, you're not, okay? First point, I, using Linux since 2000, I've been using it as root user when it needs to be done. Yes, you have to understand when to go in as root, when to go in as the user. That's part of the learning process. I do things as root all the fucking time, installing software, yada, yada, yada. The number of times I have fucked up my computer because I accidentally did something as root is never. Now, I fucked things up because I've been in there and I've been trying to do something, set something up, whatever, I've made mistakes. But I've never, like, accidentally typed in the wrong thing or something. I don't need to be protected from myself. If you're going into your computer and you're going to do some shit as the root user that might break it, you back the fucking computer up before you do it. And this is the beauty of Linux, is that because everything is in your home directory, okay, you put your home directory on a separate hard drive, or at least on a separate partition. So you go into Linux, you're messing with your file system, you fuck something up. Okay, fine, you just reinstall the file system, but all of your data in the home directory, because your home directory is either on a different partition or, better yet, on a completely separate hard drive, none of your personal data, right, your configurations, the documents you've written, the photos you have, all of that stuff is perfectly safe if you know what you're doing. And the way you learn what you're doing with Linux is by fucking things up. That's how I learned computers. Now, you go to college and you take a Linux class. No, you learn by doing. You don't go to college and learn how to edit videos. You fucking buy a camera, you shoot some video, you edit it. You don't fucking learn to play music by going to college. You get a goddamn instrument, you learn to fucking play it, you play some music. I've talked about this before. This is something that I have noticed throughout my entire life dealing with IT people and computer people. And I can say that this transcends ideology, because just as an example, there's this guy I know, he taught himself computers. And he's a liberal Ubuntu using just hippie piece of shit. I despise him personally, but he knows his shit on computers. He wrote, this is a long story, I'll try to make it short. There was this thing, his band was involved in it, and there was this online voting to see which band was the best. He wrote a computer bot that went on the internet and voted repeatedly for his band from different IP addresses so that it wouldn't look like the same IP vote, blah blah blah. And his band won because he fucking hacked it. The guy's a great programmer. He didn't learn a fucking thing about computers in college. He's 100% self-taught. All the computer people I know who are really fucking good, they're all self-taught. All the IT people I've worked with at companies, because I've worked, all the ones who have a degree in computer science are fucking morons. They don't know anything. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again for the new people. When I worked at the one place, when they had the IT department, whenever a computer would break, their solution for everything is they'd show up and they would re-image the hard drive. That was it, because all your files were stored on the network and the computers were essentially just workstations with all the same software installed. So they'd show up, oh, your computer doesn't work, reimage the hard drive. And the one person there, she was like a couple of levels above me, and her computer crashed and burned, and they came and reimaged the hard drive and it still didn't work. And I'm going by there and she's like, I don't have a computer, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, blah. She said, well, they came by and reimaged it and it didn't fix it and they don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, you want me to take a look at it? She said, yeah, sure. So I fuck with the computer. I start fucking with the goddamn computer. And it took me probably about 30 minutes. And eventually what I figured out was it was a network card, because you open the computer. Okay, so for those of you who have diplomas in IT, I need you to sit down, and make sure you have diapers on, because you may wet yourselves. This is going to be terrifying. This is going to be so scary to you. If you went to college to learn how a computer works, this is going to be really frightening. I need you to just, okay, are you ready? You have your diapers. If you need to get your blanket or your baba, I'll give you a second. Go get your baba. Okay. You open the case on the computer and you remove the case so that you can see the little electronic parts inside the computer. Don't cry, don't cry. I know it's scary. I know it's scary. Shh, it's okay. It's okay. And then when the computer won't function correctly, you look at all the peripheral cards that are plugged into it, and one at a time, you, while the computer's turned off, because I know I need to tell you this because you went to college, so you turn the computer off, even though if you have an Intel computer, it's not actually off. There's still a second processor in there that you don't know about that's still running and is connected to the internet and could be remotely accessed. But what could go wrong, right? What could go wrong? You turn the computer off, and you pull out one of the peripheral cards, and then you reboot, turn the computer on, and you see if it works or not. And I went through this process, and I found out that what had happened was the network card on her computer had crashed and burned and was causing the computer to crash and burn during the boot process. The hard drive didn't need to be re-imaged. You just had to replace the fucking network card. But because all the IT people there have college diplomas, they don't know anything about how to fix a computer. I'm pretty sure none of them had girlfriends either. They were like prototype virgin toes. So when you protect people from their own stupidity, you get things such as IT people who have college diplomas who don't know how to troubleshoot a computer and figure out why it doesn't work. I learned everything I know about computers by fucking things up and then fixing it and then learning in the process. So when I'm installing some Mint Linux and it's telling me that I can't have a root user because it's too dangerous. Well, no. Actually, not having a root user is more dangerous than having a root user. I will now explain why. First of all, in the Mint Linux, you're in the sudo group, which means if you want to do something like format your hard drive that has your file system on it, you can still do that. You just have to type in, let's see, what would it be? You would type in sudo space mkfs.ext4. We're going to make a extended 4. And then space, and then dev device. So, and see, you guys, like, what is all, see, this is the point. I know these things because I've fucking done it. In fucking retard Linux, all of this is hidden from you, and so if you lose your GUI and you lose all the little programs that have the checkboxes, you're fucking helpless. You're like a fucking Mac user. You can't use any device that requires you to click twice because clicking twice is too complicated. I love my Macintosh. It's so easy to use. On my iPhone, it's so easy. It's so easy. But yes, but you're stupid. You're fucking retarded. You have no idea what's going on. You can't do anything with a computer because if you don't have a fucking icon to click on, you're fucking helpless. And it's probably going to be on SCSI drive A, and we'll just say, well, actually, your first partition should be your boot partition. Your boot should also be on a secondary, on a different partition from your file system. So it's going to be SCSI drive A2. So you're going to type in sudo space mkfs.ext4 space slash dev slash sda2. Enter. And it's going to say, you have to give your password to do this. So then you're going to type in your user password, and then it's going to format your hard drive. It's going to format that partition, and your entire file system is gone. So you can still fuck up the system. This is not protecting the system from being fucked up in any way whatsoever. You just have to type in your password, and then it fucks the system up if you don't know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, you don't type those commands in. having a root. Now, here's the thing. Your root password, you should never tell that to anybody. Your user password, some other people might need to know that for some reason. I don't know why right offhand, but maybe they do. But here's the thing, with something like Mint, where it automatically puts somebody in the sudo group, and then say you create a user for somebody you work with or somebody else in your household or whatever. Well, now they have these same privileges, which means they could type this shit in, they could type in their password, and the shit could be gone. By having a root account and only you not having your users in the sudo group, it means that only the root user, only the person who knows the root password, can do something like format the fucking partition. With Mint Linux's system of putting people in sudo and then letting them do anything they want by just typing in their password, you're actually making it easier to fuck things up, because people who don't know what they're doing may not recognize the impact of what they're about to do. The other thing about this is, as I discovered with the Mint Linux, because it does not ask you to create a root password, there is no root password, which means if I know your user password on your Mint Linux computer, I could go up to that computer and I, using your password and sudo, can set the root password to something I want it to be, because you haven't set it. I can now log into your computer as root, and I can do whatever I want. I can destroy your data, I can destroy your user login, I can change your password. I now own your computer. So by not setting a root password, Linux Mint is creating a security hole that can be exploited. But hey, what could go wrong? Right? It's like having a device in your house that records every word you say and stores it on the cloud and sends it to the corporations. What could go wrong? It's like putting a separate processor in your computer that is completely separated from the rest of the computer and is its own microcomputer and is designed to be remotely accessed and never turns off even when the computer is powered down. Why? What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? It's like when you're sitting at home and there's a knock on the door. And you open it and there's this guy in this Gestapo uniform and a couple of armed guards. And they tell you that you have to leave your house and you don't need to pack because they've built a house for you in another city and they've already got cooking utensils and food and you've got a job there. And all you have to do is come with them and get on the cattle car and you're going to go to this other place and you're going to work there and you're going to live there. And they built this brand new house for you. I mean, why would you not fall for that? What could possibly go wrong? It's like if you spend 8 years telling white people they're racist, sexist, and homophobic, and then for president of the United States, you run an evil, nasty, vicious woman who has had people murdered in order to keep her secrets and who has enabled her husband to rape other women. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, you wouldn't be surprised at all that you lost an election, would you? No, of course not. Anyhow, the Mint Linux, it's an okay distribution if you need a low-maintenance Linux distribution, and just be aware that you need to go set the fucking root password if you want it to be secure. And I'm going to experiment some more, but I'm contemplating just removing the user from the sudo group so that the user no longer has the power to do root shit, and just you do shit from you. And you know, there's all this fucking consternation on the Linux message boards. You should never log in as root. You can destroy your system logging in as root. And I'm just like Jesus fucking Christ, guys. Have any of you ever used Linux before? Because I've been using Linux since 2000, And no, you can't. No, never log in to the GUI as root. It will destroy things. And I'm like, okay, look, on one hand, yes, there's really not much reason to ever log in to X-Windows, the GUI, as root. I agree. There's really no reason to do that. All the root shit you can do from a terminal window. But I have logged in to the GUI as root, and nothing is going to blow up. If something blows up, then your fucking system is borked anyway. There's just all, you can't do it, it's so dangerous! No, it's not dangerous. It's called being fucking responsible. It's called being an adult. It's called learning how Linux works. It's called knowing when you log in as root and when you don't. But once again, the technology has to isolate everyone from knowing anything so that you people out there can become dumber and dumber and dumber and just devote more of your time to swiping on Tinder and liking on Instagram and fucking hashtag MeTooing on Twitter and all this just empty, vapid fetishizing of the technology bullshit that you do with your worthless little lives. You know, if you're going to have a piece of technology, learn something. It's like people that own an automobile but don't even know how to check the fucking air pressure in the tires or change the oil. If you're going to have some kind of piece of technology, know something about it. All right. Speaking of virgins in the Linux world and how you people have to make everything more complicated. Grub, the Grand Unified Bootloader. So what is Grub? Grub is a piece of software. When you start your computer, it is the bootloader. So your computer fires up, and then if you have Grub installed, and all operating systems have a bootloader. Okay, Windows has a bootloader, Mac has a bootloader. You have to have a bootloader. So the computer boots up, and then the bootloader is what the computer finds, and the bootloader says, oh, you're going to boot you. This is a Windows 10 box. It's going to boot Windows 10. This is a OS 10 box. It's going to boot OS 10, whatever. Grub is one of the Linux bootloaders. So your computer boots up, Grub kicks in, and Grub says, okay, so here's your options. We can boot this Linux file system, we can boot this Linux file system, or we can boot Windows over here. And you can select which of those you want. Back in the good old days, there was a thing called Grub version 1. You installed it. It had a configuration file, an ASCII file. It's in boot/grub/grub config. That's your file. You go in, you open it in an ASCII editor, you can edit it. All right, now here we go. Grub version 1. You want to change your timeout from 30 seconds to 60 seconds. So what this means is you boot up, there's a timeout. There's a default operating system. So like if I turn on my computer here at home, boom, hit the button, powers up. It sits there. If I don't make a selection of which operating system I want to boot within 30 seconds, it will automatically boot the default operating system. You want to change the timeout from 30 seconds to 60 seconds. Okay. Here's what you do with Grub version 1, which is, here's the advantage of Gentoo Linux. You can mask packages. I still have Grub version 1 on my Gentoo computer at home. Here's how you change the timeout. You go to the fucking terminal. You type nano space /boot/grub/grub config. Enter. You're now editing the grub config file. You arrow down to the section that says timeout equals 30. You change the 3 to a 6. You hit Control X. It says, do you want to exit and save the file? You hit Y for yes. It says, what file name do you want to save it to? Hit Enter for the default. You hit Enter. It overwrites grub config. You reboot the computer. Your fucking default timeout has now changed from 30 seconds to 60 seconds. There you go. Done. But you see, the problem is, if you are a grub programmer, and you have never had a girlfriend in your life, you can't leave well enough alone. You can't look at that and go, hey man, this is really effective and efficient and easy to use. No. See, you have to change that. You have to make it different because, see, that's better. You're going to make that better because that process right there, that's just not good enough. Here is what I had to do in order to do that exact same process on my computer at work, where I installed Linux Mint, which has Grub version 2, the new and improved Grub. Okay, here we go. Go into boot/grub/grubconfig and find out that the file says, oh, you can't edit this here, you have to edit it somewhere else. Okay, go on the internet and do some searching and find out that I'm supposed to go in and edit etc/default/grub, and I have to change the timeout in that file. Okay, so you do that. Then you go on. Then you have to run Grub Updater. Okay, so I run Grub Updater. Grub Updater reads that file and then writes that information to the Grub Config, because I can't just put the information in the Grub Config myself. I have to put the information in the default/grub, and then Grub Updater has to read that information and write it in the other file, because you see, that's better. But wait, we're not done yet. We have barely started. Then you reboot the computer and you find out, when your Grub menu comes up, Windows, as an option to boot Windows, Windows is gone. Well, why did my option to boot Windows vanish? I didn't remove that. Okay. So we go back on the internet and we Google search for stuff. After about 20 minutes, we find out that, oh, this is a known bug which has existed for over a year and has not yet been fixed. Okay, if your bug is 3 weeks old, I understand. When your software bug is over a year old and is basically going to affect every single person that runs Grub Updater and is going to knock Windows out of their boot list, maybe you could fucking fix that. I mean, wait, guys, it's not like you're spending time with your girlfriends. Could you fix your fucking broken ass software? Okay, now I know it's a bug. Well, now I have to figure out how to fix it. All right, let's do some more Googling. 20 minutes later, we find out that what you have to do is manually mount the Windows partition. So you create a mount point for the Windows. You manually mount Windows. Then you have to run OS Probe. And then OS Probe has to discover that Windows is there, and then OS Probe writes into some of the fucking default/grub files that Windows is there and where it is, and then you have to run Grub Updater again, because now Grub Updater has to take the information out of those files and write it into the other file. Then you can reboot your computer, and now Windows is once again an option for you to boot. But every time you change anything in Grub Config, you have to go through the fucking process again. And you see, if you're a fucking virgin toe computer programmer, that second process I just described to you is better than the first process. That's an improvement. That's easier. That's more user-friendly. That's better. We're making Grub better by making it more convoluted and more difficult to use. Why? Because we've never seen a naked girl. Speaking of things that are getting better and easier to use, there's Firefox. Despite their politics, it has been my browser of choice, just because of all the plugins that you can get for it that do things. I have like the little download status bar, and I have the fucking bookmarky thingy, the speed dial, And other plugins, you got the plugin that lets me save images in specific directories, which is really nice. Like I'm on the interwebs and I see a picture of a hot volleyball girl, and I can just right click on it, you know, and go down the little menu. It says save in location. I hit that, and then I've got like a folder for volleyball girls, a folder for fantasy girls, a folder for Supergirl, folder for redheads. And I just click on the volleyball girls, and bam, that photo is now saved in the volleyball girls directory. Once again, computer programmers who have only seen girls on the internet cannot leave well enough alone. So we have to rewrite Firefox, which is also an admission that the code you had before is a piece of shit when you have to completely rewrite your software. Okay. I upgrade to the latest version, and almost all of my extensions are disabled because they don't work with Firefox anymore, which means now Firefox is basically just Internet Explorer, right? All my privacy shit is gone. My fucking script blockers are gone. My fucking customizations are gone. My ability to save files where I want them are gone. My ability to download media from YouTubes and stuff like that is gone. Everything's gone. All the plugins disabled. Hey, thanks for the warning, assholes. You could have said, this is the version where all of your legacy plugins will be disabled without your permission, and you will not be able to re-enable them. You could have had a fuck. This is one time when it'd be nice if you would, in fact, protect me from myself. If you would have said, this is the update in which your plugins will all be turned off, and you will not be able to turn them on. Do not upgrade if you want to keep using your plugins. You could have fucking said that. You got all these other annoying messages that comes up. You must accept our license agreement. You must understand that if you don't support homosexuals like we do, we're going to fucking drive you away from our company. You need to understand that we are going to virtue signal at every opportunity. Do you agree to Mozilla virtue signaling at every opportunity? Right, all this other shit can fucking come up and fly in my face, but you can't fucking tell me you're going to turn off all my plugins. Fortunately, I was able to find the older versions of Firefox are out there, and I just downgraded to the last version that actually works. But goddamn it, guys, can you just fucking let people know that this is the upgrade that's going to fuck up everything they have? No, of course not, because it's better! It's better. Do I want to? Hang on a minute. I gotta think. It's gonna be scary. I'm gonna think. Don't get too close. Okay, found it. Had to pause for a minute there and search. Adobe sucks balls. Yes, Lightroom. Yeah. As a company, they suck balls. Everyone who uses Adobe products has known this for a long time. Adobe has long been famous. Excuse me. Adobe has long been famous for their shitty customer support. And now with their Creative Cloud, where they're trying to force everybody to use the cloud. And remember, there's no cloud. There's only other people's computers. They're trying to force everyone to use the cloud. And, hey, it's starting to suck. Now, as a business model, I get it. You force everybody to pay you monthly subscription-based software. You make a lot more money. You can fuck people over. There's nothing they can do about it. Yada, yada, yada. But, of course, once again, when the Creative Cloud started happening, among the photographers that I know and a few other people, but mostly it's photographers I know who use Adobe products, there was the two camps. There was the people like me who said, oh, this is going to go terrible. And then there's the people who said, no, what could go wrong? It's going to be wonderful and nothing's going to change. Okay. I use Premiere Pro for doing video editing, and I have the last standalone version of the big Adobe Creative Suite, which was version 6. And I have standalone version of Adobe Lightroom. I have, what the fuck is it, 5? I guess I could look. The computer's right here. I could look at the computer. Yeah, Lightroom 5. They released Lightroom 6 as a standalone, and I considered upgrading, but the features that they added weren't that much. And again, this is another great example. I hit the point where at Lightroom 5, it really did everything it needed to do. Lightroom 6 was them throwing in shit nobody needs that doesn't fucking work. The things they added in Lightroom 6 were supposedly the ability to make panoramas from photos in Lightroom, which you can do if you have Photoshop, or you can buy a piece of software that just does that. So, I mean, that was kind of here, neither there. It was like, okay. They added facial recognition, which there's something that's pretty useless as far as I'm concerned. And in order to churn through however many photos you have and run facial recognition on all the photos, that's a lot of computer processing time, which I could be doing with something better. And then they added the ability to utilize the GPU card, which made a lot of sense to me. I always wondered, given that it is a photo editing application, why are you not using the GPU card to render the photos the way computer games use the GPU card to render the computer game environment, right? So it came out, and I saw numerous reports on the interwebs that the GPU function didn't work very well, and it was crashing computers and all this other stuff. So I decided, all right, I'm not upgrading. So anyhow, the CC rolls out and the things start happening and people are paying by the month. And talking to people who use Premiere, who, you know, upgraded their version 6 of the Creative Suite and got the CC and everything, well, now on the CC version, features are being removed. So you're losing functionality. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, that's the thing. Well, what could go wrong? Yeah, okay, here's what's going wrong. You're losing functionality. Now, over here, I found this thingy and beamer, yeah, thingy bobber on the webs about the Lightroom. So now there's a different version of Lightroom, which we're calling Lightroom CC, because we have to have all these stupid names, as opposed to, what are we calling the Lightroom? Oh, we're calling the standalone Lightroom, or the old Lightroom, Lightroom Classic. So Lightroom CC. All right, so they've removed, and I'm just going to breeze through this. I'm not going to go into great detail. They're removing the color labels. Okay, so there's a device you use for sorting your photos. They're taking that out. Let's see, revamp of keyword architecture. Keywords do not sync between the Classic and the CC. Okay, so you can't sync your keywords, which a big problem. What Lightroom should be improving is the fucking keywords. The keywording system is a giant piece of shit. You can't delete more than one keyword at a time. It's just fucking usable. That they don't put any effort into fixing. But they try to add shit in like facial recognition without fixing the basic fucking features. Once again, because none of them apparently, I don't know, do you not have girlfriends? Do you not have a life? Do you not use your own software? Do you not know how annoying this shit is? Keywords do right, I don't migrate. Migrating a catalog turns off sync. You need to upgrade to continue syncing. You can't sync anymore. Lightroom CC cannot print. Okay, printing, nobody prints anyway. The only sharing options in CC are exporting to disk or sharing to Facebook. Okay, so if you want to send your photos anywhere else, you can't do that anymore. Lightroom CC has no web or book modules, so hey, I guess you don't need those modules anymore. We're taking those out. There's no map module. Lightroom has this thing now. So here's a little thing for you stalkers out there. When you get people's cell phone photos, goddamn, when you get photos people took with their cell phone, the GPS data is embedded in the photo. If you load that photo into Lightroom version 5, and I think also 6, but obviously not the CC version, you load the photo in there, it reads the GPS data, you go to the map module, and it will show you where those coordinates are. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I've ever taken pictures that girls have sent me and put them in there and found out where their bedroom is, but just saying that, let's say that a girl sends you a picture of herself with their tits hanging out or whatever. Not that this has ever happened to me. And if you put that in Lightroom, I'm not saying the GPS will zoom right in and show you exactly which part of the house she was in when she took the photo. So stalkers, you definitely don't want to use this. And for those of you out there who don't want to be stalked, you should absolutely, under no circumstances, turn off the part in your cell phone where the GPS coordinates are embedded in your photograph, assuming you still have the power to turn that off. Because you don't need the choice of turning that off. You need to do what the corporations tell you is right. And if the corporations want that GPS data in your photo, then it's going to fucking be there. All right, CC does not, where would I lose off? So there's no map, so you can't fucking stalk people. There's no HDR or panorama features anymore, which is what they just added that I was supposed to buy a new version for. Doesn't have a tether capture. Has only one library. I'm not going to go too depth, but only having one library can be really fucking annoying because it means all your photos have to be in one library. And if you don't want them all in one library, well, fuck you anymore. And then, where's the other part that I needed? Blah, blah. So what do you do? Where does your fucking data go? Oh, your data goes on the cloud. So you got the CC plan and a terabyte of storage for $10 a month. You got the other plan where you get 20 gigabytes of storage for $10 a month. Then you got this where you get a terabyte of cloud storage for $20 a month. And then you got this one where you can get everything in 100 gigabytes of cloud storage for $50 a month. And then you got this where you can get 100 gigabytes of cloud storage and the $5 a month. And then you can buy more terabytes for $20 a month for 2 terabytes. Here's the beautiful part. So you're going to pay them, say, $50 a month for 100 gigabytes of cloud storage on somebody else's computer. What are you going to do if you ever want to get that off of the cloud? What are you going to do when they say, oh, you know what, we're raising it to $60 a month, and then $70 a month, and then $80 a month. But whatever you do, don't store your data on a hard drive in your fucking computer. Don't do that. No. Put your shit on the cloud, because you can trust the corporations. You can trust the corporations with your data. The corporations will never jack up the prices or remove features or anything else. So this chick I know, and I've told this story before, but it needs to be told again in the context of all this, with her fucking iPhone and how much she loves Apple devices, and she's got her fucking iComputer and her iPhone and everything. And she comes to me and says, well, I have all these photos I took on my cell phone. How do I get them off the cloud? Like, well, you don't. It's an iPhone. You don't have external storage. I'm like, I guess you could email them to yourself and then save them that way. But she said, well, I have thousands of photos. I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't know. Maybe it's because your iPhone is so easy to use. I don't know how you get your photos off of somebody else's computer. And more importantly, I don't fucking care. It's not my problem, because I know how to use a computer. I don't put shit on the cloud, and I don't use fucking iPhones. And the dumbness, I mean, I guess I put this in here, I'm gonna make notes here. I made fun of this already, but it's the clip from Marketing Over Coffee where they're talking and Chris is talking about how he just got this new fucking Mac computer, and the two elements of it are great. There's the first part where he says, yeah, I love the new touch bar. And then the other guy asks him, so how often do you use the touch bar? And he says, well, pretty much never. So you love it, but you don't use it. But the best part is when he talks about how he has to buy dongles to use his dongles, because apparently the new computer doesn't have normal USB plugs. But Chris has all these devices that are USB. So because he's a Mac user, and he just, the idea of not buying the newest Mac is just too complicated, right? He buys the newest computer, he can't plug any of his shit in, so he has to buy dongles so he can take a USB device and plug it into the dongle and then plug the dongle into the Mac computer. And he says he spent like $300 on this. Now, what about global warming? What about all the environmental destruction that was done manufacturing all these dongles so that you could plug a USB device into a computer that doesn't have a USB device fucking plug on it? And this is the low intelligence level of the Mac user and the normie. So you go in and you're going to buy a computer and you have things, devices, whatever the fuck they are, that plug into a USB port. And you look at the computer and the computer has no USB ports. And you buy it anyway. This is like me going to the store and I'm going, well, all right, I am going to buy a device that plays DVDs. And then I go over there and I'm looking in the VCRs, and some of you don't even know what a VCR is, video cassette recorder. I'm looking at all the VCR players and none of them have a tray for inserting a DVD and playing the DVD. They only have slots for video cassettes. And I buy one anyway. Why would you buy a device that, and of course we know the answer. The answer is because it's not about the device, it's about the fetishizing of the device. It's about the status symbol of having the latest Apple computer. It's about the need to consume while believing in global warming and hating corporations and all this other shit. It's about the fact that you have no identity outside of your identity as, I use Apple products. I have the latest Macintosh. That is your identity. And that's why you buy a computer that doesn't have a fucking USB port on it. Even though you have devices that need to be plugged into a USB. Now I'm going to go outside in sunshine. I'm going to run some errands. I'm going to engage in capitalism and spend some money. I'm going to give a guy some money. He's going to give me some computer cables. I'm going to go leave some presents for some girls, like real girls, not ones on the internet. Yeah, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy my life before I die. I'm not going to sit around staring at my fucking iPhone. Then when I get back, I'm going to put up linkage. Okay? Everybody calm down. It's coming. That's what she said.